Before we jump into today's episode, first, I want to say that this is our second last ever guest episode before we take a huge switch to solo episodes, which is very exciting. Please make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out on all these changes. And I also just want to mention, Katie reassures throughout this entire episode, and I also want to emphasize that you don't need to quit your job to follow your passions. Despite what we all may think, there are many hours in the day, and it's about if you want to slice out some time to follow your dreams. I love Katie's story because more than anything, it's about being authentic to yourself. It's about how she, you know, really realized she was in this job that was sucking the life out of her, and she just decided to make a change to follow what felt really true to her. So I want this episode to encourage you to follow your calling, follow your passions, and do what's best for you, which doesn't always mean quitting your full-time job, because financial security is also very, very important. So thank you so much for Katie for being here for our episode. I love her weekly Tuesday night yoga classes on Zoom. If anyone is interested in joining that, check out the links in the description and Katie on Instagram at holisticallyhumble. It is like the weekly meditative time off, break from my brain, stretch for my body that I need. So just wanted to mention that, and I hope you enjoy this episode and stay tuned because solo episodes are coming so soon. Follow us at Human to Human Pod and at Jessica J. McDonald on Instagram. I'm so excited to welcome you as a returning guest. Today we have Katie, also known as Holistically Humble, and you are a yoga teacher and a holistic nutritionist. And we're going to sort of talk about, I guess, your journey to becoming that today.
Yes, we are. And it has not been a straight, smooth line. So thank you so much for having me on and like having this conversation. I think it's super important.
I think so too. And when you mentioned that you haven't always been doing this, that you were in insurance for a while and it was like soul sucking, I was like, okay, I need to hear about this journey. Because so you said you were, before you went into insurance, you were pursuing holistic nutrition or something of the sort.
I absolutely was. Yeah. How it happened is, you know, when you go to school for something you're super passionate for, I went to school for holistic nutrition. Once I graduated, I was like, what can I do? Like, let's do this. I was giving presentations, like in-person presentations, workshops about fermenting, about healthy living, about all of these amazing things. And then I started working at a wellness clinic, and I just thought, this is awesome. I'm going to like work in a wellness clinic and this is going to be great. I'm going to go on the career path that I want to go on and what I feel deeply in my soul. But the wellness center, looking back, wasn't in alignment with me. There was just differences, right? And I was on a whole other path. So we parted ways. I started my own business, Clean Living with Katie. I was growing it. But at that time, I must have been like early 20s. And very impatient. I was like, it's not growing as fast as I want it to grow. Like, what the hell is going on, basically? So what can I do? And that is where insurance came into play. So I I just thought I needed a big girl job.
So you felt like it wasn't growing enough. Did you feel like there wasn't enough stability in it? There wasn't enough income, or you weren't patient enough?
All of it. Yeah. Basically all of it. It wasn't growing enough. In terms of social media, right? Because we see social media and we think that like, oh, this person has X amount of followers. Like, why don't I have that much? I must be doing things wrong. And you totally get inside of your head. So it started with how many followers I had. And then it also started with how many clients I was getting. Because like, social media and everything has grown so much in even the last like few years that when I was trying to do it, it was like really hard and daunting to me. It wasn't something I was like educated in or whatever. But it also, yeah, clients were like trickling in here and there, which is not stable. It's not allowing me to know I have X amount of income each week or each like every other week. So that was scary. And I just, you know, the external world was telling me that I needed a quote unquote big girl job. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was what I needed to do.
Did you doubt yourself? Like when you were thinking about switching and not doing clean living anymore, did you think that you weren't capable of growing it and continuing it? Or like what kind of fears were in your mind?
Yeah, basically I felt like I couldn't do it was the overarching concept. Was like I'm not equipped for this. I'm not equipped to be an entrepreneur. I don't know how to be an entrepreneur. Basically a lot of limiting beliefs, a lot of negative self-talk in my head was going on. Like, why are you doing this? You don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to do it. No one's following you. No one gives a shit. And all of this stuff. And it was just like, okay, I listened to that annoying thing that's going on in the head.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. And I think it's so easy to just get so caught up in those, like that negative self-talk to just, yeah. And I think there's also so many expectations from everyone around us. And especially when, you know, most people, you know, if that's who you're surrounded by, being in standard 9-to-5 jobs with a steady income, you know, you're like, well, I should have that.
Yep. Basically. Yeah. Everyone around me was kind of doing that and looking at me like, now looking back, I know that they were looking at me like an inspiration. But at the time I felt like, who am I? Who am I to do this? Why me, basically? And wow. Now I've learned, why not me?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's so true. So yeah. What made you pick insurance? What were your next steps after that?
So yeah, I stopped working at that wellness center. I started pursuing my own thing. And then I thought, okay, at this point in time, I went back to an old job, which was in daycare. And then once I was there for a little while longer, I was like, this isn't for me. This isn't for me. So I started working at the health food store. And again, it wasn't like as stable as I wanted it to be. It was just very minimal shifts each week. So then I was like, okay, what else could I do that's more stable, that's like, you know, provides the benefits, I'll have that stability income and make really good money at the same time. So it was either real estate or insurance. And so I actually did some informal interviews with some realtors and some insurance brokers. And it seemed to be like, if you want that major, major stability, insurance is the way, whereas real estate, you have to sell the houses or whatever to make money. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go into insurance. So I self-studied insurance. I ordered the book and I self-studied insurance and obviously didn't pick up anything from that because the terminology in it is like way over my head. And I failed the first test. And then I did an in-person course to get my level one insurance and I passed that. So then I entered into the field and I did what's called a road service broker. So you go around to dealerships because I thought if I'm getting into insurance, I'm not sitting in an office. I'm going to be moving around. With that came so much stress. I am if I'm working in a job, I want to be very by the book. That's just the way I am. I want to do things the right way. In insurance, there's a lot of things that you need to do the right way. And I wouldn't necessarily know when you're at the dealership, your boss wants you to please the person at the dealership. So you're like, okay, I don't have the signature, whatever, I'm going to insure it. So it was like really hard on me to do that because I knew that I wasn't doing it the proper way. And it was just like, I don't know, really stressful for me personally. So I would wake up in the middle of the night with like stress sweat.
Like, wow.
Where I had never had issues with sleep before. Like never in my life have I had issues, knock on wood. I know I'm very grateful for that, but I would be like sweating and in stress. And what the feeling was is like, I need to go to the office to check if I have this. Do I have this? Did I have this paperwork?
Wow.
It was like taking over my life. I was so stressed out. Yes, I was making good money. Yes, I had the benefits. Yes, I had the stability, but oh my God, my soul was like getting sucked out.
That's crazy. Well, and I think it's so easy to just feel like you need those stable things, that security. But in reality, you're living in a job where you're not only not enjoying yourself, but you're stressed more than anything.
It was high, high amounts of stress. And I do understand that I signed up for the role where you do have to go to dealerships and this dealership's paging you. I have to be here. Oh no, this dealership's paging you. Like, hurry up, off to the next one kind of thing. So it was a lot. Like, it was a lot.
I feel like also sometimes it's hard to acknowledge when you're unhappy and like your body showing you those signs, waking you up, having stress sweats. Is it being like, hello, we don't want this? But I think it's also easy to not listen to that calling of, I'm not happy, I don't want this. You can just keep pushing through or find ways to cope.
Absolutely. That nailed it. I thought I'm doing what I should be doing. The external world is telling me that I should be doing this. I'm doing it and I'm miserable, like miserable. Looking back at it now, exactly, just when you're in it, you can't see it. But now that I'm out of it, I look back like, yes, that was my body's way of telling you, like, this is not okay. You are not okay, basically.
Yeah. I'm curious what your other sort of like warning signs were that you weren't loving it and it wasn't right for you.
So after graduating the nutrition program, I'm heavily into health and wellness and love meditation, love mindfulness, love yoga, love eating healthy. All of these things, they started going down the drain. I just wasn't part of my daily routine anymore. Basically, I didn't have a morning routine. It was get up at the latest I could sleep in, I would sleep in, which is totally not like me. And then I would just quickly get ready, scarf down something and go to work. And then I was in this like vicious cycle of getting home, eating out for dinner because I didn't feel like cooking anything nourishing for myself. I didn't set myself up to cook anything nourishing. And it just like constantly went from there. So like all of my things that you might see now, if you follow me on social media that I do, I wasn't doing them. They just like got sucked. I got sucked dry basically of it.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's so telling that one of your biggest warning signs is all the things you love and are passionate about, you stop making time for, you stop prioritizing. How is it impacting too your relationship with yourself and your relationship with the people around you?
Yeah, it was awful. I would just want to be by myself, basically. Unless I was at work, then I would be surrounded by people. But if I was by myself, I just was like, I just want to lay in bed, basically. I don't want to do anything else. I don't want to do anything like beneficial for me. And obviously for my partner, we live in a super small space. So like, he can obviously tell what's up. He doesn't really know what to do. He's trying to be as supportive as he can. And he was like amazing during the time. But like, you're just... Essentially, I wasn't diagnosed or anything, but I want to say I was like depressed. Like I was depressed. I just wanted to be alone, sleeping, never wanting to go to work. Like what reasons could I think about not going to work, basically? Like planning out how can I get out of this instead of loving going to work, which is something that should be normal. So it was like a whole myriad of like things that were happening that just, you know, sucked me dry. And obviously a lot of crying, like before work, yeah. Crying, during work, crying, after work, crying, a lot of crying.
Oh my God. Yeah. So I'm curious if you hit a breaking point or if you slowly started to listen to the signs or at what point you decided I can't do this anymore.
I'm an Aries. I don't know if this has to be with like a stubborn, like blunt sort of situation, but I got sent, it was literally, oh my gosh, it was like literally 1 year ago from this time that COVID started coming into play and the news was starting to play a lot about COVID and like this, you know, this pandemic that's hitting and all of this stuff. And so I have rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune condition. You know, my immune system is a little bit down. I'm more susceptible to things. So my boss knew that. She is amazing. Like I loved everyone I worked with, but it just wasn't for me. Let's be clear about that. So my boss was amazing and she sent me home because she was worried about my health. So she sent me home and I had the whole rest of the week off. That was the start. That was the start. And I was like, I have this whole week off. It was like, I don't know. I hadn't taken time off in quite some time. So it was like, wait, what? I don't have to go to a job that I dislike. I don't have to do these things that cause me stress. And I started to like get my life back together, it felt like, in that short amount of time. So yes, there was this pandemic going on, but like I felt lighter. I got to do things that made me feel better. I got to get my morning routine back. It kind of clicked back to me really quickly. So I started after that week working at home in insurance and I set a goal for myself. If I were ever to be stuck in an office in insurance, that was the time that it was just no longer for me. So I started doing it from home, obviously, because we shouldn't have been in the offices. And it was April 1st. No joke. I was April 1st and I messaged my boss and was like, I cannot do this anymore. I didn't sign up for this, basically. Like, I'm so sorry, but no. And that was the kick in the butt to be like, if we're all going to die from a pandemic, I want to be doing something that I love, basically, is what I thought about. So that was like the start of it. Now going into Holistically Humble, which I already had, but I kept myself private. I had already had it, but it was private because I didn't want to have my name on the internet. Like I've never been into social media just like for my sake. It's always been for like a business. So I had this Holistically Humble thing. So then it was just like, okay, make it public and now let's go for it.
Oh my God. So when did you start Holistically Humble? Like secretly, like just for yourself?
It must have been in the midst of working in insurance, where I was like, I could feel that I was like, a part of me was dying inside. And so that was like a one little thing that I could do to make myself feel better. Like almost like for those people, I think it was like under 200 followers that were following me, obviously like friends and family, that like I could still give them a little bit of inspiration of like making a healthy smoothie or just something that was there that could like benefit them. So that's why I like started it way back, or like a few years ago, I guess.
Oh my God. So that's crazy. So you've had this idea and this goal and this passion inside of you while you're in the middle of your insurance career, and it's just not something that you've let come into fruition yet, like, you know, fully.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was just like, also, yeah, being scared. I had tried it in the past, super fresh out of school, you know, younger, and trying to basically take on the world. And I was just like, this isn't happening fast enough. So that's why I felt the need to do a big girl thing.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm so curious, like, now that you're doing it, the difference between before, do you still have, I think everybody, of course, has times when, you know, they doubt themselves and have those self-limiting beliefs, but how are you navigating that now?
The major thing that I always come back to is done is better than perfect. I feel like everyone who might be listening or watching or whatever you're doing feels like this isn't good enough to go out. This isn't perfect. It's not up to my standard. So I'm not going to do it. Whereas it kind of rolled back to, I'm in insurance and I know deep down in my heart, my goal is to have a wellness retreat center. How do I go from sitting here across the table at a dealership selling you insurance to saying to people, I want to own my own wellness retreat? Like, we are polar opposite. So I thought, okay, if this is what's going to happen, then I actually was able to take my yoga teacher training while doing insurance. And that's what really also helped it. And I took it from January 2020 to April 2020. So I quit insurance basically as I was finishing up my yoga teacher training. And then I just went for it.
That's awesome. I love that, like, you found yourself back to it and then took on, you know, pursuing it fully through experiencing just such a shitty time and, like, you know, hating your job. And it's crazy how much we'll endure that we actually have control over, which I think we forget.
We forget. I forgot. Oh man, I totally forgot. And it was like, as soon as I sent that message of like, I can't do this I physically can't do this anymore. I feel like I might die, basically. And that after that message was sent, I didn't even care about her response. It was like, oh, like, this is so good. And she was so amazing. Like, literally shout out to her. She was so amazing. But like, I just couldn't do it anymore. It wasn't for me.
Mm-hmm. And now how do you feel sitting here now and pursuing this? Are you like pursuing Holistically Humble full time and following your dreams?
I actually... Yes, from April 1st when I quit insurance, I was like, I'm going full board into this. I got a business coach. I, you know, started with a 14-day meditation challenge and I really pushed myself. I had all of this free time. My partner's super supportive. He was supporting me and us and everything. And I just went for it. So I built all of this content up. But then an opportunity came up where I live, where a Lululemon pop-up store was coming into business. So I basically have my Holistically Humble, which is online yoga teaching. I now teach in two studios when they are open. And then I also run 4-part yoga series, which is online. I do virtual wellness retreats. So all of that helps with and builds my Holistically Humble and my nutrition clients as well. But this Lululemon thing was like, amazing because now I can like interact with other people and I can tell more people in my community what I'm up to. So no, Holistically Humble is not the main thing behind the scenes. I do work at Lululemon and I love it. It's the greatest community for me to be in. Like everyone I work with is so amazing and supportive. And Lululemon is like a company that wants you to thrive, not only within the company, but outside of the company. So it's like really beneficial that I work with them.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it. I want to know if you feel like, you know, this thing that's your, like your love and your passion and the thing you do in your free time, does trying to pursue that fully as a business take away from the joys you get from it? Or how has it changed your relationship with it?
When I work with Lululemon?
Or when you work, like when more when you're trying to like get people to join your yoga classes or your wellness retreats, doing that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm now at this point where obviously I want like hundreds of people to come to my classes, but the people that come to my classes are there for a reason and they want to be there. So I just feel like, or people who watch my YouTube content or my social media is like, if I can just help one person in a way that like benefits them in God knows what way, if they tell me that's so amazing, shout out when you tell me, I love that. But like, I'm doing it now from a place of passion and fun and to benefit me as much as it benefits other people. So sometimes, I mean, every job, you're kind of like, oh, I have to, you know, do this today, or I don't feel like teaching. I think I've even shared this on my social media. It's like, some days I'm like, oh, like, I don't know, I don't have this inspiration to teach. But then all of a sudden I teach a yoga class and I'm like, zing, I feel so much better. Like, let's pump out another one. And so there are times where you feel not like doing it at all, but I would way rather feel this way than feel the way I felt in insurance.
Oh, that's such a good point. And I feel like that, I think in every instance you have times when you don't feel like doing stuff, but I can relate when I go work at my part-time job that I don't have a passion for, when I don't feel like going and I go, usually I'm there and it's kind of good to talk to people or whatever. And I come home and I'm tired and I need to rest and rejuvenate. And, you know, it usually ends up being not that bad when I go, but I come home and I'm exhausted. But when I don't feel like doing a podcast interview or I don't feel like editing, I always do it. When I get it going, I'm like, it fills me right up. And then I leave feeling so good about it that I think that's the big difference between working for a job or you doing a job you don't love and doing something you're so passionate about. You're still going to dread it sometimes, but it's the feeling it'll give you when you get yourself to doing it, I think.
It is. And it is. And you're taking that step in the direction you want to go, regardless if it's like the tiniest step ever, or it's like a big massive leap. It's true. You're going to feel ebbs and flows of your passion and whatever it is. But like, if I didn't get paid for doing what I do, I would still do it. And I think that's what people have to get down to, is like, you have to want to do it for free or just because you're that passionate about it. And then those things come because you're deep down resonated in your heart that you freaking love this thing, whatever it is, podcasting, yoga, meditation, journaling, blogging, whatever it is. You love it so much that you're just going to do it for free and you're going to, you know, be super tired at night, but be like, I'm going to do a podcast or I'm going to write a blog post or whatever it is.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like we've come to like two huge, at least for me, two huge takeaways from this, is that it ebbs and flows what you're excited about and, you know, sometimes dreading what you're doing. And what you just said too, that if you would do it for free, then why not try and pursue it as something that you can do full time? And yeah, you'll experience, you know, difficult emotions with it, but you'll also experience more fulfillment than being in insurance or, for me, working at a pharmacy.
Exactly. And the thing is like I said, I can't be sitting at a desk selling insurance, but telling people I want to own my own wellness retreat. So what are the steps that I can do that? So let's say, for example, someone's listening and they're in a job where they freaking hate it. You can be dead ass tired at night and still do the thing to take you in the step to the right direction, whether that's scheduling your content for the week, whether that is writing a blog post. I'm sorry, I'm just saying what I'm used to. So that's why, but for example, yeah, planning a yoga class, filming a YouTube video, doing a podcast, reaching out to people to be in your podcast, you can still do that. And so while you're young, while we are young, to have less of a sleep to be able to then pursue what it is you want to do. I don't know if you listen to Gary Vee at all.
Oh, I follow him on Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has hustled hard in his career that he would work at a job for, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours a day and then come home and then still do his wine YouTube series where, you know, he was tired. No one was watching. He says, no one was watching, but I was doing it. And then you create that. You just keep pushing. So now people recognize you as the wine guy or the podcast girl or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's so true. I joined this. Ryerson had like this fun, like dating game podcast, and I was a contestant and I had my camera off, and in it, I was like, oh, I run a podcast. And they were like, oh, what's your podcast call? And I said, Human to Human. And I was just talking with a girl yesterday who was a contestant on too. And she was like, as soon as I heard Human to Human, she was like, I know who this girl is. I don't have a shot.
Yeah. See, like, and you're putting in the work. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I also love, I think no matter what age you are, whether you're in a full-time job and you have that fiery passion to work on it on the side, do it then. If you're, you know, 19, 20, being this age, I try and like encourage myself. I'm like, you're making your decision now. Like you're at the best age to, if this is the thing you love and you're doing for free, give it a try. I think I'll regret not doing it more than I'll ever regret trying it.
Nailed that line, seriously. Like you got to try it, because otherwise you're going to be 50 or 60, 70 and be like, I wish I did that. So why not try now?
Exactly. And the thing I love so much about your story is that you started and you were trying, and then you veered off the path because of expectations of other people and still found yourself back in that thing that you wanted to try from the start. And that shows that that passion was strong enough to carry you through a terrible job and carry you through years of experiences to bring you back to it and in a new way and in a new light that fulfills you now.
Absolutely. It was needed. And in that, I was able to pay and go through yoga teacher training, which now I'm like absolutely obsessed with being a yoga teacher and spreading that information. So like looking back, there was benefits to it.
Yeah. And now how do you work through, do you have moments when you're impatient about how fast you're growing or doubting the things you're sharing? And how do you work through that now?
Yep. It comes back to done is better than perfect. I have to show up whether I don't feel like it or not. It not only hopefully motivates other people, but it continuously motivates myself. Is this something that I want to be doing? Yes. So why aren't you doing it? Why are you sitting on the couch and watching a Netflix thing when you could go to the studio and film a yoga video, or, you know, hop on stories and check in with how people are doing or whatever it is? So I just, it can almost be a curse, because sometimes you feel like you need to keep going. So now there's the balance of let's just have my own time, not holistically humble time.
Yeah. Do you try and distinguish time between when you're doing that practice for yourself rather than, okay, this is to share with my holistically humble community?
Yeah. It's really hard, because you feel like personally, like health and wellness, when I'm doing something that's benefiting me, I want to share it, but I do have to distinguish, and I'm still learning at it on how to just be like, this is my own time. I don't need to share about it. No one really needs to know that I'm doing it, or whatever it is, as simple as a meditation practice, to like then sharing content that does inspire, that is holistically humble based and kind of like separated. I'm still working at it. Not good here at it.
I think something that is definitely really helpful too is having a schedule and having a posting schedule, or for me, you know, like having a schedule of when podcasts come out. It honestly leaves more room for creativity for me, because then there's time. I don't have to be crunching to get a podcast episode in. I can write down my creative ideas when they come. And then the schedule also keeps me accountable when I don't feel like it. I have to edit because I want it to come out every Tuesday.
Love that. It is. The schedule is so important. Honestly, I feel that really hard, because I was supposed to schedule a YouTube video to come out on Sunday, but I posted it today. But that's where done is better than perfect came in, because I was like, I could skip a whole week, or I could post it today because it's actually done today, and then film another one and like continue on. So I totally feel that.
Yeah, I feel like I have to remind myself that I'm like, Jess, you make the rules. Like if it's not done by Tuesday, you can post it on Wednesday.
I know. Hey, oh my gosh. But that's it's really good to have. Yeah. just to make the content, the schedule is so important. Oh my gosh, scheduling my social media content has been a game changer.
Well, I'm so glad you came on and shared your story. I know I wanted to hear all about it because I'm in a position of deciding what I want to do with my life. And I think there's just so many important takeaways coming out of, you know, deciding to pursue your passion and how you got there. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel like it's something that people need to talk about because I just know deep down in the root of when I was feeling so out of alignment, my body was like, basically, like you're saying, like pushing me, like waking me up in the middle of the night, stress, sweats, all of these things. When that, like looking back at it, now I can properly or like more comfortably say, I am a yoga teacher, I'm a nutritionist, and my goal is to have my own wellness retreat center. And like, it's believable, and I'm putting out the content, and like, I'm allowing other people to hold me accountable. And it's just like, I don't know, this great thing that, again, I would do for free because I love it so much.
Yeah, I love that. It even made me think about, I thought of this earlier, I just finished reading the book called Atomic Habits. And he talked about, choosing habits that align with like the personality or I don't know how he worded it, but basically like who you want to be. So taking action that go towards this persona of who you want to be makes you want to do them more. And so being in insurance, but then saying what your dream is and how it's so different, you're not in the same place of taking action for the things that you love. So I think it makes us also feel less confident. We're less reputable because we're not practicing habits that align with what we want our future to look like.
Absolutely. You can go either way from there. You can continue going in the downward spiral, or you can take small little steps to go in the way that you want to go. And it doesn't have to be quitting your job.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that. Like, it's important to remember that it's just little things, and there's no timeline, there's no rush, there's no number you need to reach, because just little decisions every day is what's going to make the difference.
Yep. And patience is a virtue. Be patient. It will grow. People are going to start listening, to start, you know, coming towards you. And like you said, you'll be more reputable because you're the person that's constantly posting that content or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. So if people don't know, it's funny too, because sometimes taking an hour every week to join your virtual yoga class, a lot of the time I'm like, oh my God, an hour, like I don't have time for this, but I know. And signing up always keeps me accountable, and especially getting to like get to know you and build such a good relationship. I'm like, well, I want to see Katie.
Yes.
And it's amazing because spending that hour is so good for my mind and my body, and it's amazing. So check out Holistically Humble on Instagram and sign up for your virtual yoga classes too. You can live anywhere in the world and do it. It's perfect. We're like completely on different parts of Canada.
Yeah, in the comfort of your own home, there's no commuting, and the first time's free. You can use the discount code FIRSTCLASSFREE, all capital letters, and there's no obligation. So come on, free class, you can come.
Is there any other social media or accounts you want to shout out?
Yeah, I'll shout out my YouTube channel, Holistically Humble. Everything is Holistically Humble, so I do have a TikTok account as well. And I post weekly on my YouTube channel. I just posted a video today as we're recording this, so it'll probably be out for a little while. But it's my 5 tips to gently cleanse and detoxify your body. And it's in the form of like products that we put on our body and what are some of the substitutes that we could switch to, you know, lessen the toxic load on our body.
That's awesome. Thank you. I love what you're doing. And it's just so inspiring and like contagious to talk about things you're so passionate about and get to see you pursuing it.
Well, thanks, Jess. Congrats. Season 2?
Yeah, season 2. And I've made plans. Yeah, season 2. I love that you were on season 1. This is your second return. I'm like, oh, we got to come on each
repeat.
Season. And I just started planning some season 3 things. I decided I think I'm going to start a new season every 6 months because it allows me to like reset, like create some new goals. I feel like season 2 is a bit crazy. I find that the podcast started. If you want to hear more, listen to the old solo episodes, catch up on those, and make sure you're subscribed to hear the new solo episodes coming in just 2 weeks.